And I'm very pleased to say that I have my guest on the phone with me for a little chat, and it's Jeff Cumming. So, Jeff, good morning to you, sir.
Hi, Kerry. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. It's as we said, it's a bit parky down here in Cardiff, but I'm sure it's the same with you, and I think we're chatting to you. We said in Holywell, am I right?
Yeah, not far from Holywell, just down the road in a little village called Greenfield.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah, it's pretty dull and grey here at the moment.
There we are, there we are. So what does the day hold for you today, Jeff?
I'm preparing to go to a convention in Los Angeles, of all places.
Oh, well, there's a name dropper. There's
a
name dropper.
I'm travelling there, but looking forward to it nevertheless. So there's a Doctor Who thing there.
I see, something. I see. And obviously Doctor Who, as we're going to find out, has played quite a large part in your life and your work. So just give us, if you would, Jeff, and for our lovely listeners, a little bit of the background about your good self and the work that you do.
Okay. I guess I've been drawing, scribbling, as far as back as I can remember as a kid, always scribbling and drawing. And I went to art school with a little bit of encouragement from my dad because I didn't really know what was in store other than I just wanted to carry on drawing.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
I went to art school. A friend showed me some. I was always into music. I was into the Beatles. Went to art school around the time the Beatles packed up,
okay,
1970. So I was looking at, you know, new people to listen to and stuff like that. A friend of mine showed me some album covers that he had. There was a guy called George Underwood, mm-hmm. I seem to remember. Did T-Rex and David Bowie. I think he went to school with Bowie.
Right.
And when I saw his artwork on album covers, I just thought, wow, you know, this is like bringing two passions together.
Yes.
So really, through art school, that was my thing. I just wanted to do record covers.
So it really became a passion from an early age then?
Yeah, yeah. My last year at college was all wannabe album cover designs,
right,
you know,
for
all the people I liked, you know. But I was kind of, even when I was kind of like an early teenager, I was into TV and radio, nothing too sophisticated. But I was always a fan, you know, like an eternal fan, really. I used to draw people, you know, that I liked on TV, you know, like Edward Woodward when he was in Callan.
Yes.
Tommy Cooper, Kenny Everett on the radio.
Right.
And
yeah,
I used to draw them. And I'd send them the drawings and ask them to sign them, you know? I always got them back signed, which was lovely. I'm not really sure what that's all about other than just being a bit of a geek, I suppose.
No, but I mean, obviously, you obviously had a talent which was coming through at, as we said, a relatively early age. And what better way to sort of practice and hone your art, really, then, as you say, with those famous faces on the TV and indeed, obviously, sure, people on the radio. And yes, album covers, particularly, as you say, in the 70s, I mean, going from sort of the psychedelic sort of stuff, maybe of the later 60s into the 70s, you mentioned T-Rex and obviously Bowie, all sort of very glamorous in their way at the time, and an absolute gift, really, for an illustrator.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, good old-fashioned vinyl, 12-inch vinyl, was like a really kind of big canvas as
Yes.
So yeah, that was all pretty good. I needed to get to London, I thought. So when I left art school, I found a little job in a studio down there,
yes,
just to get me in the right location. And I just carried on painting, you know. Mm-hmm. I was always painting whoever was, you know, under my spotlight at the time.
Yeah, sure.
And around that time, Bruce Lee was the big thing.
Ah, yes, the kung fu epidemic, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Everywhere you went, people were trying to do the old Bruce Lee moves, weren't they? Quite badly at times.
Yeah, amazing, amazing skill he had.
Oh, yes.
So I painted one of quite a few Bruce Lee things, and a magazine came out, a kind of poster magazine came out in London called Kung Fu Monthly.
Right.
And it was mainly Bruce Lee, you know.
Yes.
And I just sent a photograph of the painting I did, the most recent one I did, and I got a call back, and they said, we want to run it as a poster.
Ah.
So that was the first break, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And it went straight into the magazine. They sold it as a poster. Then I painted another one, sent that to them, and it ended up on the cover and a poster again. And it kind of built up from there. And I was still in my graphic design job.
Yeah.
But shortly after, I kind of went it alone, you know, and just... went out into the big wide world as a freelance.
Yeah, absolutely. So the 70s were really when it was all happening for you, and I've already mentioned to our lovely listeners some of the names of people, as we said, that you have illustrated, and it reads a little bit like a who's who, and clearly I'm keen to explore that now with the book that came out last year, The Invisible Artist,
yeah.
And indeed, obviously, then subsequently we'll also talk then about The Art of Silver Sun. So tell us first, though, a little bit, Jeff, about The Invisible Artists and some of the really great names that are included there.
Okay, yeah. Well, I was approached by Candy Jar Books.
Yes.
Based in Cardiff, as it happened.
Yeah.
And Sean, the main guy there, contacted me. He'd just done a book with Chris Achilleas, who was like the first Doctor Who Target book.
Right.
Cover illustrator. And wanted to follow through. You know, he seemed to think I was the next person to do the Doctor Who kind of collection with.
Yeah, yes.
But I didn't feel like I had enough Doctor Who work to fill a book, really. And I kind of suggested to Sean, you know... if he wanted to do a retrospective,
yes,
have a look at my website and we could go from there. Sean came back and took the risk, and The Invisible Artist was born. You know, so it's basically a collection of my cover work, I guess. You
yes.
know, book covers, record covers, magazine covers, and so on.
And obviously there are a great many, and I've already trailed the fact that you've done some work on people like Eric Clapton, the bands, yes, and Blondie and Whitesnake and so on. So just give us a little flavour of you know, some of those.
Well, again, the incentive was my fandom, I suppose. You know, Beatle fan. I never thought I missed the Beatles, but the idea that I would end up working with one of them,
yes,
was kind of beyond my dreams. But I naively was just went for it nevertheless, you know. So I would try and find people I really liked,
yes,
to paint, you know, because that would keep my interest as well, and fuel my enthusiasm. So with Paul McCartney, I ended up working with, which was amazing, really.
Yeah.
I just found his company in the Yellow Pages and gave him a call.
As simple as that.
I can't see it happening today, but
no, maybe not.
I just said, can I speak to Paul McCartney's manager, please? And they put me through, which is just astounding. And went along with a portfolio, and they gave me a commission, you know.
Right,
I did a project called Thrillington, which was an orchestrated version of Paul's Ram album,
yes.
Which was like a big favourite of mine. But, you know, it was just like beyond belief, really. And that opened the doors for more kind of the album work.
Well, yes, you know, and clearly, as we just mentioned,
America was the next one I did.
Right,
and of course, that was a worldwide success, you know. So,
well, wasn't it?
The phone started buzzing a bit more often.
And all of a sudden, you were a man in demand.
Yeah, but that's how it turned out. So
yes.
I was very busy, you know. And at the time I started looking for freelance work, I was going to magazine publishers, going to book publishers, and so on and so forth. And along the way, I came across a guy called Dom Rohde, who was an art editor at Sphere Books, I think, at the time. I did a few things with him. He kind of helped me tighten up my style. Yes. I think with the Bruce Lee things, where they were quite loose, full of kind of action and all that sort of stuff. But I did want to try and tighten up my artwork anyway and make it more realistic. You know, my thing is drawing people.
Yes. And how difficult was it then when you started to get sort of specific commissions then? I mean, because clearly a lot of what you were doing was stuff that in effect you enjoyed and you loved doing. But yeah. I mean, is it slightly different then when you have sort of constraints on you a little bit with regards to specific commissions?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that was always difficult. I always needed more time than I had.
Right.
So I used to work long hours, you know. And again, because I focused on work that attracted me, you know, my enthusiasm to actually meet that deadline and see my work on a cover and out there.
Yes.
Was a real drive for me, you know. So that was a tricky one. I mean, it hasn't really changed.
I don't suppose it ever does it really? You've sort of obviously had the opportunity to be up close and personal with some very, very big names from the 70s. So, I mean, the book, The Invisible Artist, it's just a really nice idea, though, isn't it, to have that retrospective and the opportunity to look back at what was a real heyday, as we've said, for album covers and indeed, obviously, going on then for magazine covers, comics, etc.
Sure. I've become Mr. Retro now, you know.
Yes, I mean that could be a bit scary, maybe. But there we are.
Yeah, but obviously it was great for me to get like a retrospective and just feel like I'd done something with my life, really.
And how hard was it to decide what to leave out?
That was mostly down to Sean.
Oh, right. Good old Sean. Yes.
I jammed it. I packed it up with as many things as I could cover that I was fairly happy with. I also made a mistake thinking I had more pages than I actually did. So there was a bit of editing going on. But I've tried to at least touch on a lot of the stuff that I was very happy with.
Yes.
But I've never, that said, I've never been totally happy with anything. I just, when I look at my work now, I always see the bits that could have been better, or there was a little mistake there, or that doesn't quite look right.
Yeah, I suppose that's the sign of a true artist, isn't it, really? That, as you say, unfortunately, you will never, ever be 100% satisfied. Yeah. But so what about moving on from sort of the LP covers and so on, but some of the work then that you've done with the sort of what I would call sort of comic books and the sort of the whole Doctor Who genre, etc., etc. Talk us through some of that work as well, Jeff.
Yeah, okay. I mentioned Dom Rohde. He had Target Books. He'd been working with Chris Achilleas, as I said. I think things were hotting up as far as the Doctor Who novelizations were going.
Yes.
So they needed a few more people in. And I'd already done a little bit for Dom, as I said, and he just said, "Do you fancy doing a bit of Doctor Who?" And I said, "Of course, yeah." Mm. I mean, I was a big fan of Doctor Who when it first came out.
Well, as everybody was, really, in different parts of their lives.
I literally did the thing, behind the sofa,
Jumping behind when the Daleks came on or whatever.
Yeah, and so that was quite exciting, and I wanted to make sure I could, tighten up and work on the covers. So, that was really good. So I did about a dozen, I think, Target books.
Yes.
And really put my heart and soul into them, really. And they've stood the test of time, I think, you know, because I still get, like, invited to these conventions, so that's quite nice. You know?
Well, as you've just mentioned, that's one of the fringe benefits, isn't it, really? So that book came out, as we said, in the summer of 2022, and clearly it was a great way of you being able to say, well, here we are, here's all my work up till now. There, let's move on to the other book that we want to talk about, The Art of Silver Sun, which was released just before Christmas. Now, maybe that's something which is slightly more niche interest to certain people. I don't know. But, I mean, again, give us a flavour of that.
OK. Again, it comes under my remit of album cover designs.
Yeah.
But a little later on, it was kind of like we're talking about mid-90s, I think.
OK.
Britpop days.
Yes.
At this point, I thought all the record cover work was done and dusted. You know, we'd gone down to CD size, and that didn't really work for me.
Yes.
And then Silver Sun came along on Polydor Records, and they were a kind of power pop, more American-sounding band, really. British, but really lovely sort of harmonies and great sort of catchy tunes.
Yes.
And Polydor put me with them. They found an old promotional card I sent them years ago. And I really didn't think... I thought my, you know, I was like old hat by now. and I met James, the main singer-songwriter guy, with my portfolio, slightly nervously going through all these old 70s albums and stuff. But he was a big fan of vinyl, you know.
Got you.
And we came up with a few ideas and off we went. And I worked very closely with James on the ideas and concepts and stuff.
Yeah.
They released pretty much everything on vinyl as well as CD and stuff. So that was really quite exciting. Getting back to 12-inch and 7-inch vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really creatively productive time for me and the band as well, I guess. So it was just something I'd wanted to do, because the artwork at the time, even though a lot of it was fairly, well, very rushed, in fact, it was still kind of slightly retro sci-fi.
Yes, yes.
Pastiche. And I just wanted to capture that time, really. So it was always a project. And having worked on the book with Sean at Candy Jar, The Invisible Artist, I just pitched it to him. Would he be interested?
You know?
And I knew there were enough people out there who'd be interested in Silver Sun.
Absolutely.
They weren't as commercially successful as they should have been, frankly. But a fantastic band, you know, really amazing.
Well, and it's great then, as you say, that this is another way of just planting the flag down and saying, you know, remember these guys and some of the good work that was done. And obviously everybody of a certain age gets, you know, a little bit dewy-eyed, don't they, when they start looking back to the 90s or the 80s or the 70s. And having books like this around as well, it all helps, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure. In fact, it was the 25th. I didn't realise when I was working on the bus on the book, but it was the 25th anniversary of Silver Sun's first debut album. You know, and Demon Records now have re-released the first two albums.
Okay,
so they're again available on vinyl, which is great.
Excellent stuff. So now, one question for you then, Jeff. If people want to find out a bit more about your work, is there a website or Facebook pages or anything like that that people should head to?
Yeah, the easiest thing is just jeffcummings.com and follow the links from there.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So I've got a website, which is a bit of a labyrinth.
Plenty of stuff on there, though. Yeah, plenty of stuff to explore. So, yeah. Obviously, time is beating us, as it always does when we get nattering with people on the phone, Jeff. But just briefly before we say cheerio to you today, sir, any more plans in the pipeline at the moment that you can reveal?
Well, I'm still working as an artist.
Yes.
I'm working this week, in fact, with my old company. So I'm doing some work with them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm projects galore. There's another thing that's come out recently called Mythmakers. It's a series of kind of filmed biographies of anybody generally who's involved with Doctor Who. So
yes,
I have my own little documentary at the moment.
Oh, excellent work! Excellent work,
Jeff Cummings, Mythmaker.
I see.
Don't you know?
Well, Jeff,
that sounds very grand, doesn't it?
It does. Jeff, time has beaten us. I must say thank you so much for joining me this morning. Hopefully we'll get the chance to chat again sometime in the future soon when you maybe have some more projects to let us know about.
That would be lovely.
But thank you so much for taking the time to chat to me this morning, sir.
Thanks, Kerry. It's been a pleasure.
Top man. Thank you, Jeff. Very, very kind.